I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 488, Toy Story 4.
Oh boy.
Here's a place we never thought we'd be.
I mean, what, 488?
Well, that too, but Toy Story 4.
That was back in episode 100.
Yeah. The last one ended.
I mean, it ended.
And it felt ended.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. That might be the best sequel ever made.
Interesting.
I mean, it was until Friday.
Oh, I don't
know.
It's still
a sequel.
That.
I think this one's better than 3.
I don't think this one's better than 3.
I do too.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I think 3 is better than this.
Yeah, I liked this movie a lot. So, yes. I'm not like.
This would have been a good 3, and 3 would have been a good 4.
But, I liked the finality of 3. And I know this has its own finality that we'll get to, but I'm not disappointed in this movie in any way.
Yeah, sure.
I just don't think it's as good as 3.
I would agree.
I think this movie's, I think the whole story overall is so much more enjoyable and fun. I think the ending is better. I know that the ending of 3 was very emotional and caused you to, freak out when you thought they're all going to die.
Oh my God, they're going to kill them all.
Totally get it. But I think this is a much, where the characters end up, and especially Woody's journey. I love this movie. And I mean, it's definitely my favorite of all of them.
This feels like we had a script left over, and not in a bad way. Like, we had one more movie left. Let's just throw it out there. Where 3 was
know.
Like...
Well, that's not the case because, Rashida Jones and her writing...
Yeah, which I didn't... That's pretty awesome.
This is the movie that she walked away from because she was like, John Lasseter's an issue.
Ah.
And they walked off the project. And everybody was like, well, that's a little huffy. And then
where's John Lasseter now? Oh, Blue Sky.
And then 8 months or a year later, that all kind of blew up, and suddenly it was like, oh, maybe she wasn't just being a problem.
I saw her name on the credits, and I was like, well, that's what an interesting name to see in the writing credits.
Because that was the big deal, was that Rashida Jones was writing Toy Story 4, and she was working on it until all that happened. And
which tells me that the crux of the story must have been theirs. Or they wouldn't still be on it.
Oh, sure.
That
makes sense.
Because, I mean,
this is the original stories by them. So, obviously, after she left, they changed it and adapted things. But
they kept that framework, clearly. Because, I mean, there was another Toy Story 3.
Oh, really?
That was going to go straight to video.
Oh.
And then they, maybe it wasn't going to go straight to video, but there was another Toy Story.
Toy Story 2 was going to go straight to video.
Yeah, and then they saw how good it was, and they decided not to.
Good call.
But it almost became a straight-to-video
franchise.
That's
crazy.
But Toy Story 3, it was going to be a Disney feature animation. This is when Disney
was going to split.
Was going to split off, and Pixar was going to do its own thing. And then when Disney bought Pixar and brought it all in-house, when John Lasseter took over, the first thing he did was he was like, don't even want to read it. It's dead. He just
what?
The Toy Story 3 script that they had started. And he's like, don't care. Don't want to see it. throw it away. Mm. And we will do a Toy Story 3, but we are starting over with the Pixar people. Dude.
Disney developed the script?
Right. Because when the Pixar split, if it had happened, the way it was going to work is that Disney retained the rights to all the characters that they created, because famously, like, Cars would have been the last one in their agreement, and they were like, we can give you Toy Story 3 or Cars, and they were like, we'll take Cars because we already own the rights to all the Toy Story characters.
Right.
So why get one more movie of Toy Story when we can get you to give us a whole
world of Cars,
world of new
is
toys?
That who was Lasseter? Who was there then? Was that what's his
I
name?
I think that was the waning days of Michael Eisner.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, the fourth movie in the Toy Story trilogy. Here we are.
Did we do shameless plugs?
Oh, we didn't. Let's go around the table. We can introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. And, of course, our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month, bonus content, and you just might get to be a guest. So
maybe.
Maybe. Well, I said might.
That's fair.
Yeah, that means maybe.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
if you ask my kids, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. So there, Toy Story 4, go.
So we kick back. When was the last one? What was Toy Story 3?
2010.
So we go back about 9 years.
Yeah.
Which I think they're.
It would be 9 years from 2010's story.
But Molly's age doesn't work. That's the part that's weird. That was weird.
Well, like, she's just a little bit older than she was in Toy Story 3.
Is that? Oh,
remember Toy Story 3? Andy's in college and Molly can talk. And
but like when they go back to when she's giving away Bo Peep, mm-hmm. Andy's not in college. Andy's like a kid. Their timeline's a little wonky because that opening scene, Andy is like still playing with Woody and Buzz as their regular toys. And then
it's 9 years back from 3. It's not 9 years from now. You're thinking of now time.
But Bo Peep is in 3, isn't she?
No. That's the whole point. This explains why Bo Peep isn't in 3.
So I haven't seen 3 in years.
That's
okay.
What's so great about this. Okay. Is in 3, okay. Everyone said, where's Bo Peep? And Woody has Woody says, you know, hey, we're all still here. And he goes, well, most of us. And then Rex mentions Bo Peep, and he gets really sad about it. And everyone's like, what happened to Bo Peep? I love that. I mean, this movie starts showing you what happened.
So we're 9 years prior to 3.
So 3, yeah.
Got
that's
it.
Why he's
yeah.
a kid okay. not in college.
That makes more
so
sense.
So this movie is actually taking place in, like, 2011.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay, that makes more sense. Like,
Which is why they got that weird, janky GPS.
Yes.
Instead of
and not
a
their
smartphone.
Phone, yeah.
Right, right. So that's what I was trying to figure. I just figured they did that as, like, a... We're just going to animate this. They've got an old crappy RV, and that's
sure.
That's
it worked.
Yeah,
it would also work on that level. Yeah. It took me a little bit to realize. It's like a Tom Tom.
Yeah,
something.
Exactly. Yeah, I got to use your own name. I get it.
No, that's what they were called.
No, that's what they were called. Yeah.
But first of all, let's talk about how jaw-droppingly gorgeous this movie is.
This is next level.
This opening scene in the rain with raindrops bouncing off Woody and the lighting and oh my God. And what they did with this one that I don't remember in 3 is they added a film grain to it where this movie looks very cinematic. So not only is it photorealistic, but there's a grain in it.
3 definitely had like that sheen to it.
3 looked super, super polished, high definition, beautiful. Yeah. This movie is still beautiful, but it's... The film grain, and it's all darker. You know, I was taking screen grabs and comparing them, and the first 3 are so bright. And I know usually we don't like things when they get dark or whatever. It looked more like a movie.
It was darker in palette, but it was never hard to see.
No, exactly.
Like the complaints about dark is like, I can't see what's on the screen.
Right.
Like that's,
this looked darker, but it really had a film look to it as opposed to a cartoon. The others are films. They're great films, but you know what I mean? There's a difference. When you look at animation and you look at film, there's usually a very clear difference. And this one at times, boy, when you're talking about this house out in the rain, the neighborhood, that mountain with the RV, that
landscape.
When
he's pushing the box, like that, the way the box moved, even the look of the box, I was like, man, that is impressive.
This is next level. I mean, Pixar is known for their amazing animation, and it gets better and better, and even in their shorts like Piper, and you see all that photorealistic stuff. Well, they've put it all to use here,
yeah,
and it's amazing. But God, I mean, the feels right from the beginning, I mean, with this, with they're trying to go rescue RV, and then at the same time,
I gotta tell you, I thought we were losing RV.
Right.
Like, yeah. I thought that was how this was going to open. Because like RV's like stuck in like
in the mud.
Yeah. And they do the human chain. It is weird that the Slinky Dog's voice isn't there. Like, it's as close as they're going to get it.
But he wasn't there in 3 either, right?
He was.
Yeah.
They used archive voice. In 3.
Oh, did they? Yeah. I thought they had already recast it.
Just like Potato Head's archive voice in this.
For 2 lines.
Yeah.
They made such a big Slinky only had a
But they made such a big deal about, like, oh, we went through the archives and he's got, and Potato Head's got, like, 2 lines.
I don't even. Yeah, exactly.
It's just, I feel like Don Rickles would be like a Robin Williams, where there's like, we have 40 hours of Don Rickles just riffing.
Oh, well, I mean, you just, if you go to Toy Story Mania, there's a big giant Potato Head that sits there and like insults you as you wait in line.
Oh, really?
And it's on like a 4-hour loop
before it
repeats.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's funny.
There's a whole host of
Don Rickles stuff out there.
Yes, absolutely. And not to mention the stuff he recorded for Disney on Ice. Like, I mean, there's lots of stuff.
What are you looking at, you hockey puck?
But this scene, I mean, they get you right in the feels from the beginning, because not only do we find out how they lose Bo Peep, but you find out that Woody had the choice to go with her.
Right.
She says, you know, sometimes toys get lost. And when he sits there and looks and he decides that I can't do it and has to say goodbye to her, it's like, holy crap, opening scene. Like, this is like similar to how Up hits you in the beginning.
Yeah.
This movie
yeah.
starts up and you're like, holy cow.
Oh, my God. They're going to kill that gal with cancer. Yeah. Oh, my God. They did it.
But this was amazing. And
yeah,
we
really,
find out
really
that's how Bo Peep, Molly didn't want her anymore. And some guy comes and picks her up, like probably on like a Facebook local ad or whatever. You know,
he comes
by and gets the toy, and
which I don't think was a thing in 2011.
But you know what I mean.
I get it. Yeah,
Craigslist though.
Craigslist,
like
true,
a local. Yeah, someone comes by and gets the stuff, and then that's it. And then we flash forward,
and he's with, you know, everybody's with Bonnie, and it's funny. My oldest loves Gravity Falls.
Oh yeah.
And as soon as the Triceratops talks, she goes, "Hey, it's Mabel."
It is.
And I was like, "It is Mabel. Good job." So like, yeah, the main, you know, we've got Jesse and Bullseye and everybody's there with some of the new toys from the end of 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the mayor? The mayor was kind of one of my favorite parts.
The mayor.
Like the mayor of the toys, like the stuffed like Raggedy Ann doll.
Is that Bonnie Hunt?
Is that who that was? I thought she was I liked her a lot. And she's like, I got, you know, Woody, I don't have time for you now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Woody basically has become the penguin from the first one. Like up on the shelf collecting dust, you know, like it's a girl. So she doesn't really want to play with the boy sheriff. So she takes Woody's badge off of him and pins it on Jesse.
I love that. Oh, and the sheriff for his badge.
Right.
And then Sheriff Jesse.
And throws him back
in
the closet.
And I love when you watch this movie a second time, I'll tell you what. So I saw this at the screening and then put about a week and a half between it and then saw it a couple days ago with Katie. And this movie works so well the second time. I loved it the first time, but you see all the foreshadowing of Sheriff Jesse and all these different things that are going to pay off later. Bo Peep, you know, the decision to go, you know, with her. All these things pay off, and you notice it the second time. But I'll also tell you, because there were 9 years between 3 and 4, and nobody asked for a 4, and everyone was worried it was just a cash grab, you go in with reservations.
Yeah.
And the box office being a little lower than expectations, I get it, because I was there with reservations. I totally understand it. But once you watch it the first time and you're like, this was good, and then you can go the second time and just sit back and take it in.
Yeah.
It's more emotional, you know.
I've only seen it once, but like kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Sure.
But they're not going to keep it.
Exactly.
Keep it up. Like, it's good, but
we're going to drop it at some
point. They're going to screw it up here.
It never does.
Yeah.
And so when you watch it the second time and you sit back and just let it happen, I mean, it's more emotional. Like, I teared up probably 4 or 5 times. For the first time, I kind of did at the end, but you know, but I had my guard up. This time, you know, it's good and it hits you hard. And then plus you can dissect the hundreds of Easter eggs in this movie.
Yeah.
So I will say that, you know, if you have reservations, but you love the other ones, see this movie, and then it might take you a second watching. But when you see it a second time, man, and that's why it solidified as my favorite, because I've never laughed more at a Toy Story movie.
It was very funny.
It's the funniest one.
It was probably the funniest.
Between Forky, Ducky and Bunny, Duke Kaboom, every new character is great.
Yeah.
The new characters are all, even Gabby. Gabby's really good in a different way.
Who was
way.
Gabby?
Christina Hendricks.
Oh, okay, that makes
sense. And what they do with this one is this is Woody's movie.
Oh, absolutely.
All the movies are really Woody's movies, but this one he takes the spotlight. And what I love,
I don't know, the first one's kind of like a buddy cop movie. Like,
well, right,
it's,
no,
that's
but
what
Woody,
he's saying is that this is Woody's
this,
movie.
Yeah, I agree.
All,
this is the
Woody
one that's
is a
like,
main character in all of them, and he is a focal point. But I mean, this one is really Woody's movie.
Yeah,
and the journey he's been on 24 years ago,
right?
1995. I cannot believe. It just the journey that Woody's been on for 24 years, and to see what each of these movies is about something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And now this movie tackles toys. What makes it, you know, the whole thing about toys coming to life when you're not looking. Well, can anything be a toy?
Right.
Which they address with Forky.
Yeah.
And then also, does a toy have to just be, can it only be around with humans? Does it have to have an owner, or can a toy be something more? And can a toy form its own family groups? And
what's going on in Andy's mom's nightstand?
Exactly.
Also, there are some like toys there.
Yeah.
So I think this movie tackles so many really interesting issues that they've never really broached in the other films. And where Woody ends up in this one, I think, is so good. And I just think that overall, this movie, between the look and the story and the humor, it hits everything.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So that's we jump forward and Woody's with Bonnie now, and
first day of kindergarten,
and she's freaking out. And Woody is adamant. He's like, I gotta go with her. Like, I have to be able to help her. And you know, the mayor's like, nope. Like, it's too dangerous. They're gonna see you. You're gonna get caught, and it's gonna be a big mess. And he was like, I think I know what I'm doing. And it's just like, we've all been there with that one boss. The micromanager who doesn't listen, just like, look, if you just let me handle this, I'll handle it. Like, it'll be fine. So he ends up sneaking into Bonnie's backpack and goes to daycare with her. And he kind of like,
it's
nudges,
so sad.
Nudges
the first
her,
day,
yeah.
She doesn't know anyone. You know, little boy comes over. It isn't very
nice. She's like,
nice,
hi. And, well, I don't think he's not nice. He's just, he's in his own, you know,
he's
like,
doing his own
thing.
Right.
Like, I don't think
but
he's
But
she's
not, trying to be friendly, and he's not, you know, he seemed like kind of a little jerk.
I didn't feel like that. I feel like he was just he's a kindergartner, and he's just grabbing the supplies. Like, you know.
It's his first day, too.
Yeah, exactly. So he's just doing what he's doing. And then Woody kind of pushes her in the right direction. He kind of like jumps out of the backpack and kicks a thing of like crayons at her, and you know, jumps on her seat and like gives her a bunch of different little art supplies, and she makes Forky. So Woody comes home, they come home together, and he's like, hey, Bonnie made a new friend. Everybody's like, oh, that's great. He's like, no, she made a new
that
friend.
Was funny.
And this just kills when
Forky
comes out.
Forky is amazing.
Forky in the trailers was like, what is this stupid character?
Yeah, where are we going
and Forky
with this?
Forky is amazing.
Yeah.
And this whole movie is about Forky.
Have to believe that is Tony Hale. Like, Tony Hale is a comedic genius. And if you don't have his voice and what he's doing, basically, like you said, playing Buster Bluth throughout this entire thing.
I mean, I think he gives a great performance. I don't think he's responsible for what they did with the character. I mean, that's in the writing, but he's perfect for this role.
Yeah.
And when he comes out and he's like, trash, they're like, you're a toy. Trash.
Yeah,
and
he keeps jumping in the trash.
And then the whole, you know, the next 10 minutes is clips of Woody having to chase down Forky from going to the trash at night while she's sleeping.
Jumping
like,
in the trash. Woody throwing him back up on the bed. Like, that was fun.
Yeah. And everything about Forky and questioning why he's alive, and then it especially comes back and pays off at the very end, in the mid credits. But you know, this is the first time that they've even addressed this, what makes a toy and what makes them come alive. Not that we know how it's caused, but it's like, can anything be a toy? And it's like, if a kid makes you and you're a kid's toy and their name's on the bottom, like, even though this is a spork with some with some pipe cleaner on it and some popsicle sticks glued, it's like, it's a toy to
it's
Bonnie
toy.
And it comes
to life. I almost feel like they're like inspired in a way by Lego Movie.
Kinda,
because Lego Movie was like, well, you can just buy the cheap Legos and play however you want. Like, that's okay too,
right?
And they built an entire movie around a generic character,
right,
and elevated it. And I kind of feel like
I could see that
is,
for sure.
This is their version of that, you know.
And so it's a lot of fun. And the Forky character, as random and dumb as it may appear to you when you're questioning why are they making this movie and why did they make a fork character, the other thing that's great is that he's called Forky and he's a spork.
Yes.
Because a kid made him.
He says, he does. He's like, yeah, but I'm a spork. He's like, yeah, well, she called you Forky, so that's your name.
I mean,
yeah.
They don't really address it that directly, but I just love that a lot of characters do say, call him a spork. But his name's Forky,
but that's exactly what a little kid does.
Yep,
Forky. Yeah. She doesn't know, 'cause she's a kid, and I think that's beautiful. Like the magic of that is a child makes things up and uses their imagination, and they're gonna call a spork a fork,
right?
And it's fantastic. So the whole Forky thing and his story and his importance. I mean, this whole movie is Woody trying to find his purpose because he has nothing else left. And he decides his purpose is to take care of Bonnie. And the way he's going to do that is by making sure she has the most important thing in her life right now, which is Forky.
Yeah.
And he's constantly trying to throw him up to the bed when he tries to jump in the trash. And eventually they go on this road trip and he jumps out the window to escape. And Woody's like, how far away are we? 5 miles?
Like, we'll
okay,
catch
I
up.
Can make it.
Yeah.
And it's like he's willing to risk everything because that's all he has. And I think that's so amazing. And the emotion that Tom Hanks puts behind this character he's been voicing for 24 years. Like, you see some voice actors in these kids movies and it's just a voice, right? But when you see what Tom Hanks does with Woody, it's something.
Especially because, like, he's not putting on a voice.
He's doing the Tom Hanks voice.
Like, it's Tom Hanks voice, which generally kind of irritates me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you expect a voice actor to do some voice work.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But he's acting his ass off.
Right. What you're getting from Tom Hanks isn't that he's going to put on a crazy character voice. It's that he's an A-list, top tier, 2-time Oscar award winning actor.
Right.
And he's going to treat this role with every bit the amount of seriousness that he would.
Anything else?
Captain Phillips or Forrest Gump
or whatever his choices. It's how he delivers the line, which you're not going to get with just a regular actor. You know,
I also think on TV shows, they talk about how the longer they go on, the characters can become more like the actor because they're writing for that voice. They can do that now. It's the fourth movie. The first movie, they didn't even know for sure who was going to play it.
Really?
I mean, I don't think when they wrote that script, they knew it was going to be Tom Hanks.
It was Bill Murray was Buzz Lightyear, I think. Like, he was who they wanted. He turned it down.
Yeah.
And then they got Tim Allen.
Gotcha. But now they know they're writing for his voice, and I think those two things are really...
And he, you're right.
Off.
You're right. He is acting his ass off. Like I mean,
again, watching it the second time and seeing how he delivers those lines and the emotion, now that I know what Woody is dealing with...
Right.
You can hear it and feel it in his voice when he's talking, and he's the urgency behind keeping Forky and everything. It's like, God, it hits so much harder the second time once you know what's going to happen and you notice all those little nuances that they decide to do.
It's just insane to when you say that it's like 24 years. I think, you know, obviously Woody was a blank slate. There was not, I mean, you knew what he looked like, right? And
it was just a cowboy doll.
Just a cowboy doll.
He wasn't a famous cowboy doll. He wasn't, didn't look like
he didn't
necessarily
become
anything. It just was a,
Just nothing in particular. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Hanks, to his credit, who's, I feel like one of those dudes in Hollywood that almost never turns in a bad performance.
Oh yeah. Tom Hanks is solid.
I mean, he's in some not great movies, but like sometimes it's, but
a couple maybe, but yeah, Tom Hanks is solid.
Is legit. And then he comes, you know, but then you see him in interviews or you see him at like, you know, popping in on people's weddings on accident. It's just, he seems like one of those, like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Where you just want, like, I want to be friends with Tom Hanks.
He and Keanu are on that same kind of level.
Yeah, like
just
good
nice
dudes
guy.
In Hollywood.
Exactly. So, I mean, just to skip ahead a little bit, I think, you know, they go on a road trip.
So Forky jumps out the window because he doesn't know any better. Woody's like, I got it, and jumps out the window. The line that I love from the mayor when Buzz jumps out the window, where she's like, what is the deal with everybody, with you guys jumping out of windows? And they're just like, eh.
And you know, Jesse does it later, too.
They don't mention it,
but it's like she also jumps out that window.
But nobody says it. So, and then as they're walking, like, Woody ends up finding Forky in the trash can.
Yeah.
And they're walking back, and he was just like, look, how does that trash, and he, it's interesting, it's like a dad talking to a child, where he's just like, how does that make you feel? Like, you know, it's finding that way, that perfect way to explain a math problem to your kid that your kid understands. Like, you got to find it on their wavelength. And then once it clicks, they're just like, oh, of course.
And the way it clicks for Forky is convinced he's trash. And so Tom Hanks ends up basically convincing Forky that trash is a good thing and that they're all trash. Because Forky's like, so you're trash. And he's like, Yes, we're Bonnie's trash.
Right.
And so it's a way that Forky understands.
But ultimately, they are.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
It's a double entendre.
I mean, how many toys do you have from when you were a kid?
None. How many have I rebought?
Right.
Yeah.
But the ones you had from when
you were
a kid,
they're gone.
They are trash now.
Yeah. that. Who knows where they are?
Yeah.
Gone. That's where they are.
It's a great talk. And also, Forky kind of acts as Woody's therapist, too, because, you know, as it goes on and they do a time lapse, and he's like, and I had this kid, Andy, and then he, you know, and then he went to college, and I went to Bonnie.
He's
and
like,
I love
you
that
had
he's,
two kids?
Yeah, he's explaining this whole world. And so Forky has only been around for a couple days now, but
I've known him my entire life.
But yeah.
Well, it's only 2 days, but
he's filled in through their conversation. So that's a really smart way that they get Forky up to speed to understand the world and everything.
The scene with them walking down, and that's another talk about the animation is like the concrete road.
Oh yeah,
and like
at
it's
night
nuts.
with the
yeah,
moonlight.
Like the shine off the off the street. But I like where if, like Forky's trying to keep up, and obviously he's a spork.
Yeah, right.
So he's got
he
like
keeps waddling.
Two,
he's like
he, you know he's like, will you carry me? No. Will you carry me? No. But by the time that there you get to dawn,
flash forward,
he's
and
on
then
his
he's
shoulder.
On his, yeah.
You know, so it's just like you can see that that relationship has progressed.
Forky's amazing.
He goes, wait, he thought he was a real spaceman. He's like, yeah. I know, it was insane.
Right? Yeah, they're having that moment where it starts off irritated, and by the time they get caught up,
right.
He's like, that's what I said.
Yeah,
he's like,
exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
So funny. And so you filled in Forky on now 24 years of history that we know about.
Right.
And he's up to speed. And so, yeah, it's a great moment. But and they eventually catch up to this town. And
it's like a small little, you know, I don't want to say dirt ball, but it's just like a
no,
small,
like old
small
town,
little town.
Old, yeah, a little town.
With and, a carnival going on.
Yeah, and they're going to head to the RV, but Woody catches the light of Bo Peep's lamp.
Right.
Bo Peep's lamp that we saw in the beginning of the movie.
And it's interesting that they do this because they almost make Woody the villain without like on not on purpose. Right. So like Forky is trying to say like Bonnie's right there, right across the street. And Woody's like, yeah, we'll get
well, did
we
you
got,
catch
we got
the
time.
Similarity between this and X-Men Apocalypse.
Because, no.
Well, with them making Woody the villain, like you said, what was interesting is you've got Woody doing this and he in his mind, he's doing the right thing.
Right.
But he's not thinking of the other toys,
right,
which
right,
is
right,
what
right.
Xavier struggles with.
Well, I feel like he's not thinking about Bonnie. Which is his, which has been his main motivation this entire time.
Yeah, but no toy left behind.
Right.
And he's leaving toys behind. You know,
exactly. Oh, sure.
He thinks he's doing the right thing because he is focused on Bonnie. Xavier doesn't want to take over the world. He thinks he's doing the good thing too, but he's not thinking of the X-Men. And
right.
So it's just interesting, as bad poor as that movie did, I mentioned on the podcast, I think it tackles some very interesting issues, and that's a very valid one. And so I thought it was interesting that these two movies that are now both owned by Disney.
This
but,
is what happens when it's done the right way.
Right, yeah, but it's a better take, exactly.
Right.
But so it's an antique shop.
Yeah.
And you may as well call this an Easter egg shop because this shop
it's all over the place.
Is packed. There's a reference to every Pixar movie ever made.
Which is what they've always done, right?
Not
on this level?
They usually throw some in.
Okay.
This movie has everyone. They made sure to put in every movie a reference, you know, and it's amazing. There's even some little Disney references in there, which is interesting. But this antique store is just jam packed, and it's gorgeous too because again, you get the photorealism. So these are objects, like
plates and panes of glass.
And did you catch the Tom Hanks Easter egg?
No.
Woody steps on a typewriter to climb up on a shelf. That's a clear Tom Hanks Easter egg.
To what?
Woody steps on a typewriter. Tom Hanks collects typewriters.
I didn't know that.
Tom Hanks collects vintage typewriters.
Is that right?
So Woody goes and he climbs up on a typewriter. Like, clear, that was not a mistake. So you get all these objects that we're not used to dealing with in the toy world. You know, this is the human world, and it looks so photorealistic. The director, Josh Cooley, who this is his directorial debut.
Well,
he was a Pixar storyboard
artist. If you're going to do it, you better knock out of the park, and he did.
Yeah, I mean, he was working on storyboards for a long time. He wrote on Inside Out with Pete Docter and the other writer, I can't remember. So he's been around Pixar for a while, but they gave him this movie to direct, and you're right. I mean, this is a grand slam,
yeah,
and he kills it. But he makes some very... He pays service, fan service, and tribute without being distracting, but
I feel
it's
like
really
an
fun.
An antique shop would be the place to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That
but
makes
that's
sense.
What I mean. It
yeah.
actually makes sense because you've got old collectibles,
right.
But they just happen to be Dinoco signs and.
I did like the
good,
so,
the good Dinoco.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
But like, so I showed Bella's the oldest, the Duke Kaboom in The Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
And she, like the look on her, you know, like she's eight. Easter eggs aren't really a thing yet.
Right.
The look on her face when she realized that Duke Kaboom was in Jack's like crib. She was like, wait.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
What? And I was like, there he is right there. Duke Kaboom. And she was like, this is insane. I was like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Just wait, man. We
got a whole world to open up.
All
for
kinds
you.
Of Easter eggs waiting just for you.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's they go into the shop. And we're introduced to the dummies, which, again, older kid was like, don't like it.
Katie
don't like
was
him
horrified.
At all.
For being a kid's movie, there are a lot of jump scares in this movie.
They are very creepy.
And it's mostly all dummies jumping out of nowhere.
They're like the traditional ventriloquist dummies. Yeah. We're introduced to Gabby. And it's interesting that they do a flip with her, too.
Well, that's the thing I like with this movie. So Toy Story is
there's always a villain.
But it's always a villain that you don't expect, but they always do a head fake with you. But with this one, it's not the good guy turned bad. It's really just a good guy that is good and doing it for their own reasons. But, you know what I mean? She's not a true villain.
She's a villain. Villain to a point.
I think the head fake is that she ends up not being a villain.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you think she's, because we've seen the prospector be bad.
Stinky Pete.
We've seen Lotso be bad.
Yeah.
And then, so you're Pete, like, oh, well, this is the villain that she seems so sweet and nice because she's this nice little doll.
Right.
And I love it when she's like, she talks to her dummies and she's like, get them, please. Like, she's always friendly.
Right.
But we find out that her motivation isn't out of evil. Like, what she wants to do is she wants to get Woody to sit down long enough to talk to her, and she wants to kind of negotiate or
she wants his voice box.
Right. Yeah, so the deal is that she's a Gabby doll, which is like an old doll from the 50s.
I think
40s.
It's based on Chatty Cathy.
That's what I think. I thought as well. But her voice box was damaged, so she couldn't. She was defective. Yeah. So
talking
no,
doll that can't
no
talk.
Kid wanted her. So her. She realizes that Woody's voice box still works and is
they're
perfect.
Like, it appears that they're made by the same company.
Correct.
So they use the same voice box.
And it should work.
And they're like little tiny records.
Right.
Which is what they really
is that right? They were back then?
Yeah, there's a monkey's hand doll
that's
like that where they would play like little snippets of songs and dialogue. And if you open it up, because I've seen people open them up to fix them.
I was like, crazy bastards, what are you doing?
Yeah, and it's a little tiny record.
Because you pull the string and it spins it. And
It's not like Teddy Ruxpin where it's a cassette player in his back.
It is not. Right. Not
but yeah,
50s.
No, it sounds like such a weird way to do it.
Sure.
But yeah, they're little tiny record players.
Okay. So she realizes that his works. And the goal for her is there's this, the grandmother that runs this antique shop has a granddaughter. And she just wants to be a toy. She wants to be a toy for this girl.
She's never gotten to be one.
Exactly.
So it's like her motivations are so heartbreaking and so valid. And she never, even though she's doing it kind by force, she's sending the dummies out to get him. She's never like, we're going to kill this toy and tear him in half and steal his voice box.
Right.
Well, she wants to. There is they do kind of kidnap him and start pulling his voice box out.
Well, I don't, that's not necessarily true. Like, they're like examining it. Like, what I think from watching it twice now is that she wants to get Woody to sit down long enough to tell him that sad story and convince him that he should donate his voice box. But the whole time it looks like she's trying to by force. But again, I don't think she was ever going to cut him in half and steal the, she wants to, you know, she wants to convince him. She wants to, you know, and so the doll, for good reason, she really has never experienced that. And another scene that just absolutely kills is when she eventually tells him the story and is like, what is it like? I would love to have just one moment.
It's a weird moment where that story, you know, you get that story from Sneaky Pete and then the story turns. Mm. And that's where I thought we were going.
Right.
It's like she was using that story as bait, but it's not.
But that's the thing. That story can lead to anger, or it can lead to sadness,
right. And we've seen them both.
For him it led to anger,
right,
and you know, and bitterness,
right,
and hers it was just like this,
I just want to be a toy
sense of yearning,
right.
Yeah. And so anyway, that's jumping ahead a little bit, but I do really love what they did with Gabby. It came out of left field. You didn't expect it. They didn't do what they did with the past two villains. And it's really, she's not really a villain, but you think she is.
Right.
It's really cool how she's a very deep character.
Yes. Yeah. Which is, I mean, hard to do in an animated movie.
Yeah.
And they are able
if anyone can do it, it's Pixar.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Forky gets kidnapped by her because they're trying to get Woody again. They're trying to get him to
Wait, how did we get to Bo Peep? Is that after he gets kidnapped?
He has to get kidnapped first,
and then
he goes and finds. Yeah, he stumbles upon Bo Peep.
Right,
but he's running away as they're trying to track them down, and the dummies get a hold of Forky. Woody escapes, but now they have him, and he ends
Woody
up.
Woody has to go back in.
Yeah, but he ends up wandering to the carnival, and that's where, you know, kids are. I'm sorry. doesn't the little girl take Woody? She finds Woody when he's escaping from
the
dolls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she's
she takes
can
Woody
I have
with
this?
Her. Yeah, and she's like, yeah, whatever.
The toys don't sell.
Right.
And so she takes him over to the carnival, and as she's walking away, you see the dummy like holding Forky in this very ominous thing. And you're like,
right.
Oh, my God, because at this point, we don't know Gabby's intentions. We
right.
You know, so he wanders over there, and he's, you know, it's a great scene because you see kids get off a bus, and, you know, he escapes out of the swing, but then these kids come, and they're all running to the sand pit.
Combat Carl.
Carl Weathers.
Is that who that was? Yeah. That's fantastic.
And Tom Hanks voiced him because, like, when he's doing the recording, they're like, to Tom Hanks, they say, oh, he's like a G.I. Joe character, but we can't call him G.I. Joe. And he says, we'll call him Combat Carl.
After Carl Weathers.
Yeah. That's, well, I don't know about after, but he does voice him.
That's
I don't know where that came in.
But they all, you know, they all give little high fives, and there's like Arctic Combat Carl who doesn't get a high five, which that was great.
But when all these kids come in off the bus.
It's such a great little moment where he doesn't see him and he leaves him hanging, and he's so sad.
Yeah. Right. Don't worry, he gets his.
Yeah. But so Woody is picked up by these kids that are coming off the bus, and he's trying to escape all these different kids that are coming to play with the toys that exist already. And then one kid picks up Woody, and then also that kid already has the Bo Peep. This is like what we've been waiting for years. And, you know, Woody hasn't seen her in 9 years, but I like that they make you wait because they're still in their
toy form. They're frozen in toy form.
See them play together, and you almost think you can see them like come alive, and Woody be like, but you don't yet
until
they're put down.
Off, right.
And then Woody gets up like excitedly, and she takes her hook and like puts him down because the kids are still running
past
them.
Yeah, they pull.
So,
like,
did you just say Bo Peep's a hooker?
Well, she is.
She uses a hook.
I mean, yeah, if that technically is what they call.
Right.
Yeah. But so, you know, and they get their moment of excitement and everything. And it's neat because it's a reunion for Woody, but it's also for the fans who haven't seen them together since 1999. Think
right.
about that. The other movie was 9 years ago. She wasn't in it.
Right.
1999 is the last time we saw Bo Peep.
Right.
And again, with what I like about this movie too is Toy Story 3 stepped up the animation to this semi-photorealistic animation. Like, it was beautiful. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the character models.
Oh,
like,
sure.
If you look at Toy Story 1.
I wish when they had done the flashback, they had done
the old
in the animation style.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of.
Like 2001, 2003.
Yeah.
That's true, because they did go back to 9 years from 3, you're right. So, but the thing is, if you look at it, I went back and I took screenshots from all four movies and I compared them on Twitter. So if you go to my Twitter feed, I have a hashtag for Toy Story 4, and then I show every main character throughout all the movies. And the lighting changes, the textures surely are upgraded. But the biggest difference is the humans. I mean,
oh yeah.
In the first movie,
you don't see the humans at all.
Yeah, no, you do.
You barely see them.
But you do, and they look like aliens.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
The humans are horrendous in the first movie. And by the time
that's why they made a movie about toys.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do humans.
Yeah. And by the time you get to 3 and you see Andy and his mom and everything, it's like they are still cartoonish, but they have those human qualities where they nail it. And in this movie, it's even better.
Yeah.
But when you look at the toys, they, even though the graphics got better and the animation got so much better, they never lost what made Toy Story
right.
so special. Woody and all the other characters, their character design looks so similar.
Well, also, we know that Woody got fixed, right? Like, he got fixed up in two.
Sure.
So, like, even his little bald spot's gone, or the painted over foot,
oh, sure.
which now says Bonnie is still there. You
Man,
know,
I want to go to Al's Toy Barn.
I know.
Fix my bald
fix
spot.
Your bald spot.
But anyway, I love that as the animation got better, they didn't go, oh, now this is the new character model. I mean, animation does this all the time, whether it's The Simpsons on TV, you
sure.
know, changing the character models, or How to Train Your Dragon, and the characters look like Hiccup looks a little different. He's similar,
got a beard
but,
and stuff, but.
No, but I mean, you know, the design is the same, but they sometimes make tweaks where you're like, oh, that character looks different than they did before. Like, they go and change some models. I'm not saying in How to Train Dragon specifically, but it happens. With this movie, all the toys still look kind of plasticky, the toy-like.
Yeah.
Whereas the humans and the environment look photorealistic.
Sure.
So, but it blends in well. It's not a case like Good Dinosaur where the
right.
trees look photorealistic and amazing and there's cartoons running
right.
around. That did not blend, but this does. However they do it, it's masterful. But anyway, so everything looks great in this movie. And so I looking at it, it's like astonishing when you see how good this is. Mesmerizing, the animation. So anyway, back to Bo Peep and them. So they have this moment, and it's fan service. It's for us and for Woody, and it's a very nice moment.
Right. So Woody kind of says, like, look, I got to go back into the antique shop. Like, Sporky's there. And even Bo Peep is kind of like, wow, who gives a crap about that kid? Like, well, let's just be Lost Toys, and you can do whatever you want. You can live this life. And Woody's just like, I can't. I can't do that. Like, I can't just leave Bonnie on her own. Like, she's got kindergarten coming up, and you could tell the look on Bo Peep's face where she's like, oh, you loser. Like,
oh, I don't think it's that bad.
I do, though, like, where she's just like, why are you, you're just going to get tossed out anyway. Like, Bo Peep definitely has an edge to her that she didn't have before, because she's been on her own for 9 years,
right?
For, you know, 10, whatever.
Yeah, she's been sitting on the antique store shelf for 7 years, and she's right. been on her own for 2 years.
And she took off, right? So finally,
but she knows that antique store, and she knows Gabby,
right?
And that's, as soon as he says it, she's like, "That place? What were you doing in there?" And so she knows the place, and Woody's like, "Well, you got to help me because you're the only one that knows it."
Right. So she says fine, and she's like, and I like the line with Woody goes like, "Why are we riding around in a skunk?" Yeah. And of course, as it's riding through the carnival,
yeah,
like people are, like the parting of the Red Sea. She's like, "This is why."
But we meet what is the Polly Pocket? McGiggles?
Yeah, you didn't tell me he was a police officer.
Yeah, so funny. So it's basically a Polly Pocket.
Yeah.
And she's a security guard or something. Maybe she's a police officer. But as soon as
Giggle
McDimples, okay. Who's fantastic. And then as soon as she finds out that Woody's a sheriff, she turns her head, and then she has sunglasses on.
It's good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. It's so funny.
And they can bond as being police officers.
Correct.
And
yeah.
That's
right. Right, right. So yeah, so they take off, and then they get back into.
Oh, and then I loved the grape soda bottle cap from Up.
Is that what that was?
So the sheep, Billy, Goat, and Gruff.
Yeah.
I love it when he gets the names
like
wrong.
Sarah,
and the second
Diane,
time,
and whatever.
Yeah, the second time I saw it, I realized in the beginning she says the goat's name.
Right,
yeah,
she right. does.
She actually,
yeah.
And then he gets them all wrong. But they're bringing him a Band-Aid and a straw, and he tries to put them together. You see, just in the background, this is all happening. And it's,
right.
And you're like, what am I going to do with this? And then they bring to Bo Peep the grape soda bottle.
And she was like,
from Up,
get out of
and
here.
And she goes, oh, I don't want that.
Yeah,
but
I can't
nice little
that.
Moment there.
So they get back into the antique shop, and Bo Peep is kind of like, look, we have to follow these directions. If we don't follow these rules, they show you the cat who has already torn a toy in half. And at this point, they've already got the two. Do they have the two?
Well, so going into on the roof of the antique shop. Meanwhile,
Buzz is like, "We gotta help. We gotta
Buzz
go."
Lightyear jumps out like instead of the RV, and then there's this whole thing that we didn't mention where Woody talks about like doing the right thing, and it's his inner voice. And Buzz said, "Well, whose voice do you think that is?" And he says, "Well, it's your voice." And so Buzz starts pressing buttons, and throughout the entire movie, everything he does is based on his, like, you know, Buzz Lightyear to the rescue, like
right.
this little thing. And they're actually guiding him, or so he thinks.
His
and so
voice.
They tell him to go to the carnival. And then they tell him to do the slingshot maneuver,
right.
which ends up bouncing him off a bunch of canopies, and then he lands like this perfect superhero landing in front of a urinal or a porta potty. And then this
smashed.
Guy slams open the door,
yeah.
and it's the carny, and
right.
he picks him up and straps him to the wall of this water gun prize game, and there to his top
this
right
King
hang
Peel.
Bunny and Ducky, who are
yeah.
absolutely hilarious,
amazing.
Every time they're on screen, every line they deliver is laugh out loud funny.
Yes.
I mean, these two.
I wonder if they were just like, we got this. We'll write this.
I mean,
we'll write our own
they're
stuff.
They're doing characters from their skits.
Yes.
Like, you can clearly tell. I mean, it's such an organic relationship because they've been doing it for so many years, and they're so great playing off one another.
Well,
but,
and Disney's got a long history of bringing in comics or teens.
Sure.
And being like, just do that.
Just do that.
But as a character.
Yeah. It's weird to see in all the promo images that they're separated.
I like that because it was a surprise
was,
when they
and
were
they're stuck together.
And it becomes plot points. I mean,
it
they
does,
use
yeah.
them being together. So he finds them anyway, and Buzz Lightyear ends up escaping and gets
He basically
them
says, he's like, look, you get me out of here, I'll give you a kid. And they're just like, really?
But the whole thing is every toy they run into, you've got a kid, you've
right.
got a kid, because all these toys are kidless. And so, yeah, they realize he has a kid, and so they're following him around. They've not so much... He hasn't promised them anything, but they impose themselves
yes.
on him that you've got a kid and you've knocked us down. We've been waiting for a kid for years, and now we're not even on the prize wall. So they follow him around to the roof of the antique shop, and then Buzz Lightyear comes, and Bunny and Ducky come and tackle him.
Yeah, it was
well,
great.
I love the irony of the fact that like they're never gonna get a kid because they're a grand prize, and those games are rigged.
Correct.
So you don't win.
You
can't. You
never win.
Nobody wins the grand prize.
No, you never
nobody
win.
Nobody wins the giant
no,
stuffed
nobody,
animal.
Yeah, yeah, you get like the little one under. You get the Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
That's what's so great is like this movie tackles little things like that that you most people might not think of, but that's why they've been on the prize shelf. Like no one wins those prizes, and they certainly don't win the big ones.
Right.
And so that's why they're there to always be stuck up on that wall, and that's
right.
why the guy likes putting a Buzz Lightyear up there because he knows no one's going to win that, but
right.
they'll play his game to try to get a Buzz
right.
Lightyear.
Sure. sure. It's funny that Buzz Lightyear has the same appeal that it had in 1995.
Well, now
he's like a vintage
now he's
toy. So yeah, so they get back in, and
now,
at this point, it's Buzz.
But it does have, look at Pokemon.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know? Right. Now definitely. It's a different reason. It's like now he's popular because you can't find him.
Right, right. Yeah. So you've got your mate, your characters, and they go back in, and Bo Peep kind of says, look, you have to follow my lead. If you don't do this, we're going to die.
And Woody, of course, is just so stressed out trying to get Forky.
But I do like where the cat kind of walks away and you see like half of a stuffed animal. And then Ducky and Bunny are just like,
is that what we look like
on the inside?
On the inside?
And he was just like, yeah, there's just more of it. And
every line like, oh, that comes God. Out of their mouth. Their plans, I mean, those had me in hysterics. Those
were very funny.
Plush Rush.
Yeah, just it's the same thing over and over. Yeah. I do like finally the line where I guess it was it Rex where he's just like, do you guys actually have lasers in your eyes?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no, that was Duke Kaboom.
Is that who it was?
Great line, yeah.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah, that was the after the mid-credits Duke Kaboom. But yeah. But so anyway, they're trying to get to Forky, who's in a cabinet that's locked by a key.
Right.
And so Woody then, before he knows that, tries to jump up and get in there, but he can't open it up.
And they've got like little turrets, which are basically the dummies that are surrounded
on each side of the cabinet.
Right.
They're surrounded. So he runs off, and then the dummies end up coming out and trying to grab him, and the sheep end up biting a dummy, but then a dummy walks off with the sheep still attached. And so Bo Peep's mad because he didn't listen to her. Now her sheep are stolen.
Gone. Yeah.
And so she's like, you do what I say. I know someone that can get us over to that cabinet.
Right.
You know, it's a big jump. There's only one toy that can do it.
One toy.
And then
so they go to like an underground toy club.
Yeah.
And it's great.
They're inside of like a slot machine.
Yeah,
type
basically.
Of thing. And she puts a combination in like, which is great because this is like how people get into machines. It's like a programmer's code.
Yeah.
And she pops the thing open.
And there's like a doorman. And
all the toys that are in this, there's an Oakland A's bobblehead. I don't follow them, so I don't know. But it's a real player for the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
There's that water bird thing that no one knows what it's called.
Oh,
the thing that you put on your office desk that bobs forward.
Yeah.
There's the tin soldier from Pixar's original short
was
the base, which was the concept for Toy Story.
Oh, really?
That tin soldier is a short film that inspired Toy Story.
Huh. Okay.
So he's in there. But eventually she's like the toy for she asks, hey, do you know where Duke is? And this toy's like, hey, he's in the
back there.
And then he gets this entrance.
Yeah.
And
he's
probably seen it in the trailers, but where you see like the shiny chrome muffler.
Yeah.
And you see him with his
handlebar mustache.
And
he's the greatest Canadian
stuntman. Canada's greatest stuntman. And his backstory kills with Rajan.
Yeah. Rajan. And he's just like, nobody, of course we don't go the entire way. Like
they flash back to him and because it's,
he's an evil Knievel.
He's Canadian.
Right.
And, you know, Montreal is French Canadian.
I had this toy.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the evil Knievel
Yeah. So he gives this whole backstory about how they see his old timey commercial.
Right.
And you see a toy up on wires making jumps because it's like those fake old cheesy commercials. And then Rajan, his kid, got him for Christmas or for Boxing Day. The best Boxing Day present a kid could get. And Rajan sets him up and he's like, he winds up his back wheel and then he gets clicked into like a little, almost like a dynamite plunger.
Yeah.
And then you press it down and you see him just like hardly go across the ground and just fall
and
the ramp.
That's very true to life.
Yeah, right?
The Evil Knievel one, it was a crank.
Right.
Okay. And we would like lock him into place and you would crank it almost like a jack in the box and it would build up tension and then it would take off. And you know, in the 70s, they finally passed laws that the TV commercials couldn't show the toys doing things they couldn't do.
And that's what was great. This was up on strings. Like, it couldn't do what they...
Yeah, because you
capes
kid,
flying in the air.
You would see commercials all the time with the you know, if it's a character that would fly, that they would show them like flying, and it's like, but you couldn't
and
do
throw
that.
It well now and now toy commercials have disclaimers like they're a medicine ad.
Yeah,
you know, the guy talks really quick and they're like, oh no, the plate is not included.
Yeah.
It's like, so but anyway, so he shows that and then he breaks down and says, why Rajan, of course I couldn't do it. You know, and he's having
of
his
course
whole,
we should say this is Keanu Reeves.
Oh, well, if you didn't know,
is, you know,
Keanu Reeves doing an amazing job with this character. But then Bo says that he has to help them because he's the only one that can make that jump. And I love it when Duke's like, nope. No. And he just he's saying no in all these different ways and turning around. And also he constantly breaks into poses.
Yeah,
he's a toy.
He's
a stunt toy.
And
so.
Woody's just like, what is he doing? He's like, let him go.
He's posing.
Yeah, he's posing.
But she says, any Duke Kaboom toy can jump, but you're the only one that can crash.
Yeah,
like
he was
that.
Just like, you're right.
I can
crash.
Yes, I can. Yeah. So many great lines, such a great delivery. Again, every new character in this movie is instantly amazing. Like,
yeah.
Like makes you want to go out and get the action figure or get the Funko Pop. Like, I don't have any Toy Story Funko Pops. I don't have Woody and Buzz and the characters we love, but I want a Forky and a Duke Kaboom. Like,
right.
You know, and it just, they're so awesome. They make you want to, these new characters, even though you're like, yeah, I've got 50 of these over here that I love for 24 years. I want the new ones.
I know this, we can't really make this work.
We're a non-visual podcast.
Yeah, but here's the commercial.
Oh my gosh, it's the same. Yeah.
Come on, nobody just pops a wheel.
Oh, yeah. It gets worse.
Tom's showing a commercial of this Evel Knievel toy that's just like the Duke Kaboom. They definitely modeled it after this.
And
type.
Like, look at all the...
Because just jumps. Oh my.
And lands.
And it does like flips and lands and right. then takes right. off. I mean, it's just, yeah. it's complete bullshit.
Yeah, I love it.
Complete yeah. bullshit's right.
Yeah.
So
they talk
agrees.
Him into it and they've got it all ready to go. The Ducky and Bunny.
Meanwhile, they have to get the key to the cabin.
Right.
So they keep flashing back where, oh yeah, Bo goes with Woody to get Duke Kaboom. Meanwhile,
right.
Ducky and Bunny are
and
trying
Buzz.
To get the key, and Buzz
yeah.
is like, how are we going to get that key? And they give him three scenarios.
Plush rush.
Well, that's the third one and the best one. But the second one, again, you notice the second time, winner, winner, chicken dinner pays
right.
off later, too.
Yes.
So the first one, she walks by, and I love that it's like this old-timey jazz music. That she's and every scenario starts off the exact same, and she's walking by, and she looks, oh, look at those toys, and they jump out and grab her.
Right.
And then,
right on her face.
Yeah. And make her like crash into things. And the second one is basically the Buzz like, we can't do that. And they're like, okay. And they set up the next one.
It's kind of the
basically,
same.
Basically,
yeah.
All it is a baseball rolls by them.
Right.
And she sees them and they jump on her face. And right. and the third one is Plush Rush.
Yes.
Ironically, it's
yes.
hilarious because you think they're going to do the same thing. She walks by, dusts some things. Then she goes to the cash register, takes it out. She turns off the lights. She drives home. She goes into her fridge, makes dinner. She takes a bubble bath with a glass of wine next to her. She goes to bed. She wakes up the next day, and the two of them are standing over the bed, and they cut to the house in a scream. Like, that...
That's pretty good.
It pays off so well
yeah.
because you have no idea where they're going with it. But I love that that's Plush Rush.
And then the way they do get them is she just kind of puts the keys down in front of
and
them.
And they cut back to Buzz because he's like, well, how will we get that key? Cut back to Bo and Woody. Later on, they cut back to him. How will we get that key? And she walks by and puts it in front,
puts it in front of him. It's very the comedic timing and gags worked
the
very well.
I'm saying, I mean, do you guys agree? I've never laughed so much at a Toy Story.
I would
they're
agree.
Fun movies, but
it's hard to get. It's, I'd have to kind of almost
between
watch
Forky,
again.
Ducky
yeah.
and Bunny, Duke Kaboom. I mean, the laughs
yeah.
are nonstop, and they're good. The humor, I mean, it's fantastic. So anyway, so they end up going up top.
They
to,
do it. They make the yeah. jump. Duke makes the jump.
The Woody, crash.
The crash.
Barely,
sorry, yeah,
because
barely.
He sees Brajan.
He freaks
at the
out.
End of
he
the...
freaks out. Like he gets some speed wobbles and he almost doesn't make it, but he ends
yeah.
up making it.
I just love that Brajan keeps coming back because it pays off even later.
Right,
too.
Right.
This is for you, Brajan. But he sees Brajan's head floating at the end of the
right.
at the end of the cabinet, and he's like, I can't do this, and he closes his eyes and starts bumping into the. Yeah.
So great. he gets over there, and then they were playing hide and seek. And then they find Forky.
Gabby goes, Forky, have you ever played hide and seek? No, but it sounds complicated. She goes, no, it's actually quite simple. Yeah. But I mean, those lines, those are small things, but
yeah.
they kill. All every single one of those
right.
jokes, it's just amazing.
So basically what happens is they get double crossed yeah. and they have to get out of there and they get everybody out. They end up leaving Forky behind again. And they get outside, and this is another
scene. Bo takes out Gabby and the dummies, and they end up, you know, Forky ends up, I think, falling to the ground, and the cat gets him.
Yeah, that's
also,
so then,
I also had one of the dummies.
Did you really?
One of the, I mean,
God,
it was
sorry for you.
What was that called? That
well,
that
it
dummy?
Was a Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like Edgar Berger. I had the official Charlie McCarthy ventriloquist dummy.
Excuse me.
That's
fancy.
My dad was
someone had
parents
that loved them.
Well, I had a mom who loved me. My dad was like... not buying my son a doll. You get this. I'm like, but it's a ventriloquist dummy. It's way cooler than a doll.
Get back on the T-ball
yeah.
field. Thomas.
Tom was 17.
Oh, no, my dad was long gone by then.
Oh. So Bo is like, we've got to go.
We got to get out of here.
Cut your losses. We have to get out of here. And so Buzz is holding a thread that's attached to Woody when he rode over there. And so Bo takes the hook and the crook, I think is the name of the actual thing. She's a crooker.
If you say so.
Anyway, call back. But so she's riding back to the other side of the cabin where Buzz is. But then Woody, again, he not thinking of anyone but himself. And again, his intentions are noble, but still he's only trying to get Forky for Bonnie. He doesn't care about putting any of the other toys in danger. And he ends up dropping down to go get Forky, which makes the thread that Bo's on fall. She bumps into the cabinet and then the Billy Goat and Gruff fall and they're like a porcelain thing and it breaks one of its
hooves off.
And it's like, so Woody is putting all these toys in danger once again, only thinking of himself, because even though he's doing this for Bonnie, we find out he's really doing it for himself.
Right.
Bo calls him out.
Yeah.
But he's useless except for what he thinks the only thing he can do is to make Bonnie happy through Forky. And so he puts them in danger. They don't really directly address it, but you see the sheep is damaged now. And it's like, you know, at the end of this thing, Bo calls him out, like you said, and she's just like, Woody, what are you doing? You don't care about us.
He said no toy left behind. And he was like, what about all of them? Like, what about all these other toys that are here that you're willing to put back in danger?
And then this is where we finally understand Woody's motivation. He says, it's all I have left. And another heartbreaking moment where, you know, after all these movies, and we've seen him change kids and all this, it's like now he's relegated to the closet.
Right.
And he has no... his kid doesn't want to play with him anymore. He's been through the whole Andy thing. He realizes he's going to do it with Bonnie too. And what is his future? He realizes no matter where he ends up, the kids grow up and they're going to leave him behind, you know? And I think that's what's really neat, is because this self-realization of what the life cycle for a toy is, but also does it have to be that way?
Especially as the moviegoer, while it's fun to get lost in this world of Toy Story, if you apply any degree of logic to it, you're always like, but it's okay, even at the end of Toy Story, you found a new kid for him.
Right.
But that's just...
It all happens
again. It's temporary.
That's not tragedy averted. It's just tragedy delayed.
Correct.
Because that kid's going to grow up too.
Right.
So while it's nice that you've bought him another 5 or 6 years, there's only so many times you can hand down a toy.
You can do this.
Yeah, so they never address this. The whole movie is just about getting back to Andy or finding a new kid that can use you. But they've never addressed... Does a toy have to have a kid? This is a new territory. And so by the end of the movie, Woody's arc goes a completely different direction. And I love that they're still new things.
Yeah, it's the end of Woody's. It's the end of Woody's story. Like, that's... If they can go one of two ways with
it's the end of one story and the beginning of another.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They can do one of two ways with this. They can go off with Buzz and Jesse and Bullseye and everybody else. Or you can go back and we'll get to it. But Buzz, I mean... Woody basically decides...
We'll get there.
I mean...
But this is where they separate, but we find out that Woody's doing all this because he has nothing left, and so they are like, all right, see ya. Like, we can't support this. We're going to go back to, you know...
Bonnie.
We're going to go back to the carnival and all that. And then, Woody says, I don't leave toys behind, and he goes back into the shop, and Buzz is like, you just left a toy behind.
Right. And but I do like that he says it under his breath.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yep, yeah, well, that's exactly
But it's right. like probably the first time in the series that Buzz is the voice of reason.
Exactly. Yeah, he's always kind of been the man of action, where Woody's kind of had the plan, where now it's flipped.
You feel sorry for him. And you're right, though, but it's like, no one's wrong in this case. They both are doing things for good reasons. They have good intentions.
Right.
But you can side with both of them. I mean, Woody wants to help Bonnie, and Forky's important. I mean, you see, Woody's not making this up, too. Like, we can't say Woody's delusional. Every time Bonnie loses Forky, she's in tears.
Yeah.
Forky is the most important thing to her. Woody's 100% right.
Oh, he absolutely gets it. Yeah.
Buzz, on the other hand, is also right in Bo Peep, because it's like, well, look, you're getting people hurt. You're putting them in danger. You're going to get us all lost from Bonnie and our kids or whatever. You know, they're both making good points.
Right.
But so he goes back into the shop, and this is where he's confronted by Gabby,
right,
who says, I knew you'd be back. And she gives this heartbreaking story about how she's never had that moment and says, you know, something along the lines of, that must be wonderful. I would give anything for just one moment like that, to have a kid that...
Well, in that moment, Woody decides, he's like, you know what?
Just give me Forky.
You give me Forky, you can have the voice box.
And I love that it goes into this really, like, it cuts to black.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the other toys for a while. But when they wake up, it's like waking up on an operating table.
Yeah.
You see the dummy with a sewing machine and it stops moving and it's really ominous. It's just a really cool, there are a lot of cool shots in this movie. But the way he wakes up and then you're like, oh my God, what did they do? Because at this point we're like, would he sacrifice himself? We don't know when he gives himself over.
Right.
But he stitches him up very nicely. Woody just doesn't have a voice box.
He doesn't have a pull string anymore.
Doesn't need.
And so Gabby does.
And she pulls it and it sounds great.
It sounds great. So she goes onto the shelf and she kind of maneuvers herself to where
the granddaughter
sees her, and
this is
the gut punch, like where she picks up Gabby and she pulls the string and she's like, "Oh, Grandma, I found this old toy." And
she has a moment and she's looking.
There's a
at
minute.
It,
there's a moment. It's like, this is it. Like, this is everything you've wanted, and everything's gonna work out. Everything's great. And she just tosses Gabby aside. She's like "Nah."
Grandma goes, "Oh, do you want her?" And she's like, "Nah."
And tosses her to the side.
Like, oh my God! And Gabby isn't even reanimated yet. She just looks like a doll.
Right.
But you see her with her just toy face for a second, thrown in that milk crate, looking up, and then I think her face kicks in of this like terror.
Just gut punch.
And Woody and Forky are watching this.
Right.
And like, oh my God. And so they sneak off into Bonnie's backpack, which she left earlier. Bonnie takes it.
Because they know the running gag is like Bonnie always leaves, never fails, leaves something behind every
single
time.
Get it.
And she comes back to get the backpack.
So they're leaving and Woody's looking out the window.
This is
that
actually the scene
crate.
That I like. So they're on the RV. The RV is leaving. Like, they're leaving behind. Buzz is back on the RV, and he's trying to, like, pushing the buttons on his chest, and he's trying to figure out, like, what to do, and nothing is working. So as the dad's like, "Will you turn that toy off?" Like, good Lord. And as she's throwing him in the cabinet, he was like, "Bonnie's backpack."
Yeah.
And of course,
but
Bonnie,
he says it like a Buzz Lightyear command.
Yeah,
but
right.
He says, "Your backpack's back in the antique store." Like, and it's hilarious.
And
that
then
they,
Bonnie snaps
like,
into
no
it.
Like, no one pays really any attention, but Bonnie hears that.
Yes.
And then
I did enjoy that a lot.
And the running gag of trying to put dad in jail.
Yeah.
By the
oh, my God.
That was great.
That's the guy from the Goldbergs.
The main Jeff, guy?
Jeff. I know, it's escaping me, but he's great.
He's like, well, if we
Garland.
Just try to get,
Jeff Garland,
try to get the dad arrested. And everybody's like, that's not going to work. And then at the end of this movie, the dad is about to get arrested.
I mean,
and he was
that,
just like,
I
knew it.
That payoff. Yeah. Oh, dad's so totally going to get arrested. That payoff's fantastic. But yeah, so Woody ends up again jumping out.
Is the first time we've seen them interact with the world, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Like, or interact with people.
They interacted with Sid in the first one.
Okay, that's true.
But I mean, that was directly. I mean, they even came to life in front of Sid.
Yeah.
Like, so, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
And in this case, they couldn't even see him, so it was like.
Yeah.
But so, what
is something wrong?
But they
with
certainly
the GPS?
Have never done it to adults.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're running around like Sid's dad. Like, that's in Toy Story 1. Like, Sid's dad's sitting on like a chair in front of the TV when they're trying to get away from the dog. But you never see that. I mean,
but not interacting.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
They do sneaky stuff all the time.
Right.
But so Woody sees this, and again, kind of like when he leaves the RV to go get Forky, he tells Forky, he's like, "You need to get back to Buzz and tell him to meet me at the merry-go-round."
Right.
And Forky says, "What's a merry-go-round?" He goes, "Oh, this round thing with horses."
This
was a carousel.
Yeah. And the look on Buzz's face where he goes, "Yeah, the carousel." Yeah,
didn't you say that?
Forky. Yeah.
Why didn't you just say that?
Forky rules. Every line that comes out of that.
Yeah, he was very funny.
That spork's mouth. I'm telling you, he is one of the best characters. And I keep, like, I'm like, I love Duke Kaboom. I love Ducky and Bunny. But I love Forky. Like, when I try to pick a best character,
Forky, I asked Bella, and I was like, who is your favorite? And she was like, Forky.
To me,
Forky
it's like, but it's
favorite.
Like a three-way tie between, and I put Ducky and Bunny in one group. Like,
yeah.
I just,
I feel like I feel like I like Ducky and Bunny more only because I like
you love
Key and
Peele.
Right. Like,
and I do too, but then I'm like, but Duke Kaboom
Duke
is
Kaboom
so
was great.
Good.
Duke Kaboom
I can't
was great.
Choose. Three-way tie. But anyway.
So this is where Woody steps in, like, he goes back into Woody mode where he looks at Bonnie, or not Bonnie, but Gabby, and he's just like, look, I get it, man. Like, this sucks, and I'm so sorry. But
he says there's a girl out there named Bonnie.
I can get you a kid.
Yeah.
And if you come with us.
He sounds like a drug dealer.
He really does. Like,
I
give you a taste, but then you got to pay for it.
But it's such an emotional. I mean,
it is.
This movie is full of gut punches. And
I think the one that got me is the one we're coming up to. Like, this is the, I don't know why this one.
Oh, the ending. Absolutely.
The ending
crushes.
Doesn't. No, the other, I was fine with the ending because it's, but I mean, like, the lost kid. Is where I was just like that one kicked me right in the dick. Like,
that one is, I know, because Katie was next to me, you know, and she hadn't seen it yet at this point, and she's like, oh my God, I'm crying.
Yeah.
At this point. But I'm telling you, when you go see this movie a second time, even if it didn't hit you the first time, the goodbye scene the second time, what you know what's going to happen, is so perfect
yeah.
and so amazing. It really is. But But so anyway, yeah, he takes Gabby and they have to figure out how they're going to get back.
They're getting, yeah, they're getting to the carousel. They get out. Everybody's okay. Bonnie, everybody's there. And then you've got Bo who comes back. Like Bo is the skunk is under the merry-go-round and Bo has a realization.
Yeah, they're going to leave. And she's like, Ducky and Bunny are like, can you believe that toy putting everyone in front of himself and only caring about blah, blah, blah. And then Bo takes a turn. She's like, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And like she totally turns. Right. She's like, we're going back.
So they go back and they get them there and they're about to they're going to come jump down. And we see this little girl and she's bald. Like, I mean, like to the voice actress's credit, like destroys this scene where she is lost. And Woody's just like, she needs a friend. Yeah. She needs help. So he kind of talks Gabby into doing it. And he kind of
like, this is
like,
your chance.
And,
right?
Woody and Bo are kind of coaching her where they're like, do you want to put just a little bit into the light and then you pull the, you know, you'll be all right.
And then Ducky and Bunny go winner, winner, chicken dinner. Yeah. And they throw a baseball. So the girl notices the ball and goes up and that just, are you lost too?
And then they find each other and it works. Yeah. Like that was the one that got me. I was like, God, Christ.
I'm telling you, there's four or five moments. They're all organic. They don't feel contrived or forced. Like they're just really nice moments.
Yeah. The Bonnie will be fine line was good.
The second time that kills.
Well, because
at first you're like, what the hell are they doing? Like at first you're shocked with what they're doing.
Well, they get everybody together. They've got,
you know, I don't mean to say you can't go into it. I just mean, I'm just telling you guys personally, like the first time you're so confused at what's going on and you have no idea how this is going to end.
This is where I thought it was
going to go. But when he delivers that line and you see it a second time, oh my God, I was gasping for air. I knew what was going to happen and that she'll be so fine line. Yeah, so, I was like, and I'm like, why can't I breathe right now?
They kick out the canopy. Like they get the RV to the Ferris
Forky,
wheel.
We've got a job for you. But meanwhile, the GPS thing, you know, we brushed over
the gal that's Mabel.
They've got to get them back to the carnival. And so the Triceratops is under the dashboard and acting like the GPS. Turn right. Go right again. Like saying commands that are totally not your best, take another right.
Does that GPS sound different to you?
And then there's like an exit and she yells, turn right now. And then he like swerves.
So anyway, they
get back, but it starts driving erratically and eventually picks up a tail. And all of a sudden, eventually when it cuts to the carnival, there's like five cop cars.
Right. So they kick out the canopy and everybody's jumping across. And Bo's just kind of like, all right, we'll see ya. And then Buzz has a moment.
You think that Woody's going to leave Bo after they just got back together. It's a really sweet moment. They look at each other and
Buzz kind of said, like, he looks at Buzz and Buzz goes, she'll be fine. And he was like, yeah, I know. He goes, no,
Bonnie will be fine. Oh, my God.
And it was
God.
Like, and I looked at when they, as the canopy came up, I looked at Belle and I was like, Woody's staying behind.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, he's not. And I was like, I'll bet you $20 that Woody stays behind. And she was like, okay, but I don't have to pay you $20. I was like, fine.
that line, I don't know what that just wrecked me.
That's a brilliant line because
it is.
She'll be fine. No.
And
Bonnie
and
will be
to
fine.
Tim Allen's credit, who I'm not a huge Tim Allen fan.
Nobody is.
Tom Hanks a lot better as a person. But to his credit, you know, he's an actor. He's done a lot of stuff. And
he's Buzz.
He knows how
Buzz.
To deliver these lines.
Yeah.
And it's that, I mean, that line read a different way would not be as effective.
Absolutely.
But when he goes, Bonnie will be fine, like the way he delivers that and the look on both their faces, oh my gosh. And they have this touching goodbye where, I mean, Woody says goodbye to everybody, all the toys that
he only says goodbye to his toys. He doesn't really say goodbye to the newer toys. He says goodbye to Slinky Dog, you know what I mean, like,
but he says goodbye to the ones that
yes
you know, to Rex, to Ham, to Potato Head,
right,
all the ones that are up on the canopy. It's a really touching moment, and that moment between him and Buzz is the most important, and they nailed it.
It's weird.
You know, you have to say goodbye to Buzz in that way.
It's interesting because you never really see them physically touch. You know what I mean? Like Bo and Woody have kind of done this dance where they don't touch each other. Like they don't embrace.
Which one, Buzz and Woody?
No. Well, any of them. Like if you look at those, like the hug, the toys don't hug. Like I was noticing that throughout all of these movies, there's like they may have slap hands, but there's no like hugging.
Yeah, they don't.
And
yeah,
I don't know if they saved it or if they knew that like this is probably.
But in this moment,
one.
All the toys kind of bombard Woody and surround.
Well, you
him
get that one between Woody and Buzz initially.
Well, yeah, they like shake hands and embrace.
Right, and then you get the one between Bo and Woody, where it's like the first time you ever see them interact physically with each other. And I thought that was
She hooks him in the second movie. But she pulls him forward and kisses him. I mean,
she does.
Yes.
Yeah.
She kisses him in the second movie. So toys do interact more like, but the goodbye was perfect. It was sweet. I couldn't have wanted some people. I haven't seen many, but some people are like, they don't like exactly how it ended. And I think after especially watching a second time, this is a perfect ending. I could not have asked for a better ending. And I honestly like this better than Toy Story 3's ending. I mean,
if you want a version where Woody has a chance of, quote unquote, living a full life.
Yeah.
This is really the only option.
It's not what you want. As a viewer, you can be selfish and say and be mad, and I guess their issue is, oh, they're separating Woody and Buzz and the toys. Yeah. You're separating the crew we follow for 24 years. But this isn't about you and your selfish reasons.
No, it's a story.
This is about Woody, and this whole movie you've seen, Woody has no purpose, and he's lived out his life, and he's repeating this cycle. If you want Woody to be happy, he stays with Bo Peep, and he's a free toy.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is so perfect for that character. And that's why I think this arc of Woody from 1 to 4 is incredible. It's changed and evolved. And I just think this ending is perfect. I love where this ends.
We should say that he gave Jesse his badge.
Yep. He pins it on Jesse, which was
your sheriff.
Foreshadowed earlier.
Right.
Bullseye comes up and tackles him. And it's just a nice moment where he has this closure with the toys. And what I also like is not only is this perfect moment and it pays off for the Woody character, but now you have two different sets of adventures you could go on. You have Bonnie and the toys with Buzz Lightyear and crew, and you have Woody and Bo Peep's wild adventures.
And I think I don't know that they'll make another Toy Story, but I think you'll see
short adventures like the Halloween special.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
That'd be the way to
and
do
I
it.
Like that. And that means you only have to get Tim Allen or Tom Hanks.
Right.
So it's easier to make those adventures. Which is
and I'm sure Annie Potts doesn't come expensive.
What's that?
Annie Pops.
Well,
Annie Pops
been around
is
a while,
Peep,
but she's not making.
But she's not.
Tim
that's
Allen
what I'm saying.
Money.
No, I'm saying she does not. She's not expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get just a couple. You know, we get Duke Kaboom doing some stuff in the after credit sequence, but you get Jesse coming back from first grade.
You know, what I just realized, are the aliens in this movie?
No. You never see the aliens.
Yeah, I don't think you do see them.
I don't recall seeing them. I don't know if they're in the very beginning and then they leave for the trip and you don't.
Remember.
But I don't recall the aliens. I love the aliens.
Yeah.
And I just
So Jesse's like, he made a new friend. Bonnie made a new friend. Like, oh great. And she's like, nope. Made a new friend.
And you know, plays this like Kenny G style, you know, music.
Here comes Knifey.
Like freeze frame. and it's a knife that's dressed up with a wig or
and of
you
course,
know, hair. And
Sporky's like, she's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And this interaction again where she's like, trash. And you know, and Tony Hale's like, no, toys. We're all toys. And she says, why am I alive? And he's like, because at first he goes, I'll explain everything. It will all make sense. Why am I alive? And he goes, I don't know. And it cuts to black. It's just so amazing.
But then the nice little nod to Combat Carl is the Arctic Combat.
But there's five post-credits.
Yeah, they do the Pixar logo where Duke Kaboom becomes the new lamp. Yeah. And then he gives Combat
Carl. But we
got to
talk about all the
high-five.
Other ones, too. All
right.
I mean, so it basically shows where all these toys are ending up. I think the one that you at least have to mention is the Ducky and Bunny at the carnival. So you see that Bo and Woody and Ducky and Bunny are freeing all the toys. That whole stand of the water pistol game is being emptied because
they're rigging the game so people can win.
And the carny turns around and realizes that they're all gone. And then the final or the fourth one before the post-credits one is he sees Ducky and Bunny and they start shooting
growing
at him with lasers. Bunny has laser eyes. Ducky breathes fire. And they're shooting at him. And then they grow into like Godzilla proportions.
Yeah, right.
And at the end of that, they cut back and they're basically telling a story to Duke Kaboom. And then they all walk away like, or we could just go freeze some more toys. And they all walk away. But Duke and Duke said, can you really shoot lasers out of your eyes? It's fantastic. And then
So the Pixar logo with the lamp is, you know, where it jumps on the eye. This time it's Duke Kaboom. Duke Kaboom comes in and jumps on the eye, does some poses. Little Arctic Combat Carl comes out, the guy who missed the high five earlier, kind of puts his hand up. And then Duke Kaboom, you don't think he's going to do it. And then at the last second, he gives him the high five and he like waddles off.
That's
away.
Great that pays off.
Yeah.
Because that third Combat Carl waits for a high five twice. He waits for it from Woody when they gives the other two five. And then when he walks away, he waits for it. So,
right.
And then you think you'll never see him again.
Yeah, there he is.
That's
this is, I mean, again, Pixar knows what they're doing. They hired the right people. And
this is a masterpiece. I don't know how they did it. especially after 3,
yeah,
because it was good. But I mean, the adventure they went on, I think, is the most fun. It's just a funnier movie. There's no lulls in it, and it packs that emotional punch that they're known for, and it hits every time on both the jokes and the emotional stuff. Like,
yeah,
this movie's wonderful, and you know, never a more gorgeous movie out of
no,
Pixar.
No, this is. I mean, if this is what we have to, obviously, we got a trailer. I got a trailer for Frozen 2,
which is Disney.
Which is, but I mean, it's at this point the animation is almost identical,
but Disney had started looking better. Like, Disney was stepping their game up, and now I feel like Pixar's back to catching up where they used to be.
And now, and they have caught up.
Frozen,
I think,
looks photorealistic too, when she's on that beach with that water or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
So I mean, you know, Disney's not slowing down. I think we've got a full, from here on out, I think we're getting at least one Disney movie a month. I'm not kidding.
What was crazy is I realized Endgame ends. It's still in theaters. They're going to add extra footage or whatever. Meanwhile, Spider-Man's out next week.
Yep. Yeah,
Lion King's out the month after that.
Star Wars, Frozen.
Star Wars at the end of the year. The new Pixar monster movie. What?
Disney's insane. Just like, we're just going to flood the market. Sometimes it's not a good thing.
Plus all this Fox stuff that they now release under the Disney banner. That motorcycle riding thing with the dog and Milo Ventimiglia The Art of Whatever. I was like, that's a Disney movie. Like, it's under Disney. They're distributing it because it's Fox. Like, it's just insane to realize
a lot.
How much Disney has coming out.
So there it is.
Cool. I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Or, of course, check out our Patreon at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week, Spider-Man Far From Home. Isn't that next
week?
Is that 2 weeks?
Midsommar is next week.
Is that the big
Annabelle?
Really?
Oh, Annabelle. Yeah.
Is next week.
Annabelle's the big
I thought
one.
God, there's a screening of Spider-Man this week, I thought, isn't there?
There could be.
Might be. But Midsommar and Spider-Man are the following.
Oh, okay.
Week.
Then never mind. I don't know what next, I guess. There. It's Annabelle, apparently.
Yeah.
So that's it for this
or
one.
Or Anna, as some people call her.
Sure. So that's it for this one. Until next time, Alan uses the power lines to create an EMP.
I can't let you throw yourself away. I can't let you throw yourself away. Don't you want to see the sun come up each morning? Don't you want to see the sun go down each day?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.